Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news about the Tennessee Thunder and the USWFL.
Everybody, and welcome back to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Glad to have everybody with me tonight, and I hope you're staying warm. It's supposed to get really cold here in the great state of Tennessee, they're saying. You know, every Thursday night we like to get on here and talk about women's football and give these girls and owners and coaches and all that some airtime to talk about their teams. And last week I had teams in our league, the USWFL. I had the one out of each division, one out of the mid-major division, which was the RVA Tomahawks, and one out of the Iron Woman division, which is the South Carolina Scorpions. And I had them on last week, and we'll have a couple of teams on every Thursday until we get through them. And, you know, and season starts, we usually do a player of the week in each division, and I like to have those girls on and give them an opportunity to talk about their teams and their games and their teammates. And the first one thing and another, you know, women's football don't get much coverage. Here of late, I've seen, you know, lots of things put out there, some positive things, these teams, but for the most part, most stuff you see is negative or this and that. So I like to try to give them all a chance to get on here and talk about their teams and first one thing another. And speaking of the RVA and the South Carolina Scorpions, they're going to be playing in a preseason type scrimmage thing up in Baltimore, Maryland on March 18th. They're having an NFL referee training clinic there, and I guess they're going to be the only women's team there. I think some men's semi-pro teams will be there, and I believe these are going to be the only two women teams there. They'll get to play each other and get a little game action going on. That's on March 18th. I hope to have both of them back on here Thursday before that, talk a little bit more about that game and get some output, some input on who thinks they got the upper hand and first one thing another, but I'm sure they'll be playing by NFL rules, so that'll be a little different for the women. But, hey, what a cool thing to do. And I'd say if you want to attend that, you can get a hold of the RVA Tomahawks on their Facebook page or the South Carolina Scorpions on their Facebook page. I'd say either one of them you could reach out to, and they could steer you in the right direction. So hopefully they'll have a good turnout, be a great venue for them. That kind of stuff's always cool and intrigues me. You know, we the Tennessee Thunder was the first team to ever play on the NFL field. We were the second to do that, but we were the first ones to play down at Tennessee Titans. Man, I'll tell you right now, that was something I'll always remember. You know, we stepped out there within the locker on the visitor side in the locker rooms, and we're standing there waiting to go out, and they actually played the Colts that day, and it was before Andrew Luck retired, and he come through there, and we were standing there, and he was like, women's, and he'd give everybody the thumbs up, and there was several of their players come through there high-fiving the girls, and we had some cheerleaders from local high school we went to, Titans cheerleaders come over and intertwine with them. Hey, it's a good venue when stuff like that happens. It's all positive for women's football. You know that since then they've watered it down. Now they usually try to have it every year or something. But you know, last few years they've had a couple games with women. They have four women's teams there and two games going on each on each side of the field, and they watered it down a lot. But I'll tell you, the first time we went, we played full field, had the Jumbotron. It was an amazing experience, and that field was I've been on a lot of turf fields, and I know that was not turf, but, man, that thing was the nicest field I ever been on. So, great venue. Hope these girls get to experience the same kind of deal. I don't know exactly where the game's at. I just know it's in Baltimore, Maryland. But, man, anytime you can get that kind of positive things going around and just think of the people, you know, like those NFL guys. Of course, there's a lot of NFL, a lot of women refs in the NFL now. Every game, you about see one working the sidelines on one of those teams. So, you know, I'm sure they might know something, you know, might know there's a lot of women's teams, but I bet they don't. You know, I bet they don't know that there's a lot of women's teams across the United States here, and a lot of good ones as well. I mean, there's some really, really good women's teams out there. You know, I know they invest a lot and recruit a lot and, you know, do things. They got means that a lot of other teams don't have. But nevertheless, hey, man, there's some good teams out there. And, you know, I hope for them. I hope for RVA in South Carolina. There's a good crowd there. And everything goes good for them, man. I'm telling you, nothing but positively can come out of that if you see that. The USWFL schedule is out. Both divisions, the mid-major and the Iron Woman, should be lots of really good games. I'm hoping to get to some of the mid-major division games when the Thunder's not playing. In case you didn't know, me and Mike coached the Thunder. Becky Founders is the new owner. She took it over after last year, and she's new to the scene and working hard, trying to do a good job. And, you know, like I said, last week we had the RVA Tomahawks and South Carolina Scorpions on. This week we're going to have the Michigan Queens and the Huntsville Tigers on. Next week, I'm going to have the Detroit Prowl and Cincinnati Sizzle on. And June the 5th, we'll have the Tennessee Thunder on. We'll let Becky come on and talk a little bit about the team and what it's like since she has taken it over. And, you know, it's always a your owner. You know, we'll talk to Coach Keith tonight. He owns and coaches too, and so does Carmelisa. They both do it. Hey, man, I'm telling you, it's a tough gig. I know firsthand doing it, and I sure don't miss it at all. I'll just tell you, I love those teams, and I love those girls and everything. You know, me and Jennifer worked our tail off recruiting over the years to get these players, and I love them and all that, but it was never my goal to own a football team, and it just had to happen that way, and it ended up that way, and we did it for years, and man, I'll just tell you, you know, I like coaching, and it just seems to work out better that way, but we had to do what we had to do, and I'm, you know, maybe both of these people tonight, maybe they really like it that way, and that's all fine and good. Hey, you know, the main thing is you're in this, we're all in it together at some point, some way or another. You better be happy about it. You better love what you do. You know, unfortunately, you know, we live in different areas. I mean, you know, it's like the Detroit team, the Michigan team coming on tonight. They're from Detroit. My God, there's probably three or four teams from up there in that area, you know. And she's from down Huntsville, Alabama. You know, Huntsville sort of out in the middle of nowhere. You know, that's sort of what we dealt with for years here. And, you know, getting players to play in those bigger divisions, you know, is tough. You know, you just about get enough players to hang on just to have a team and play some games. It's just amazing, really, that what what you can do with so few players. And, you know, for years we've had a good working relationship with the Huntsville team. We've usually scrimmaged them every year somewhere around either there in Tennessee here. You know, of course, we've never been in the same league up until this year. So it's good. And, you know, like I say, I understand even before they joined our league, I understand what she's up against, you know, recruiting and keeping these girls. Because, listen, we're in the same boat right here in Tennessee, you know. And, I mean, you got like Nashville. You look, they've got the team in the WFA, and then now they got a team in the WNFC, and right there in the same city. I mean, you just think of that. I mean, look at all the players that are around there. I mean, my God, we've never played a game. We played one game with over 20 players in all these years that Thunder's been an organization. And, my God, I don't know how many players they got on each team down there. I know one team's in the WFA and others in the WNFC. So, I mean, that's just amazing, you know, how these big cities can get so many players. And of course, the Scorpions, they're an Iron Woman team. They're over in Columbia. There's a couple of teams around there, one of which is in the WFA, and then they're in our Iron Woman division. And, you know, I don't know, excuse me, I don't know if there's enough players around that area to really grow to get to the Division II mid-major division, we call it. You know, that's what, you know, and I didn't own the team, Thunder team last year, but, you know, when Becky took it over this year, it's like, you know, what's our main goal here? And, you know, for me, it was to try to get enough players to move up out of Iron Woman, but, you know, the break is 25 and under, and, you know, we're nowhere near 25, and, you know, if we were close to that number, I'd say, yeah, you know, we might could recruit a few more before April 1st come, but when you're nowhere near that number, you got to take care of the players you got, you know, and so it just wasn't in the stars, and it has nothing to do with ownership. Well, it could have to do with coaching, but I know for years we just never, we know we've took and different girls. I mean, it's like a rebuilding year every year, and, you know, you just never seem to get more than 18, 19, or 20. So it is what it is, and, you know, I've enjoyed it because I'm big about parity. I like to see equal teams play equal football, and it just seems to make great games. And you know, if it wasn't for these Division Threes and these Iron Women, there wouldn't be a whole lot of football teams out there. I mean, you take WFA, how many Division Three teams they got, and you know, in our league, we've got three Iron Women teams, which would be Division Three teams. And I'd bet you across the WNFC and excuse me, and what few teams are in the WNFC and what the teams in the WFA, I mean, Division III, I bet make up more than 50% of the total women's teams. So these teams got to have somewhere to play. They got to have somewhere to, as a foundation to get started. If they don't, I mean, they never can get off the ground. You know? So I know like the South Carolina team, you know, they're just getting started. They've branched off from the organization from years ago, and they've been 2 years just trying to get going, you know. So now they've got an opportunity to compete and play several games and compete for a championship. And, you know, how better else to build your program to be able to say, hey, listen, you know, here's what's at stake. We play all of our games, no forfeits or nothing. We don't have a big roster. We work hard, make the playoffs. We got a shot at making, winning a championship. You know, that huge compliment, and, you know, to be able to, for these smaller teams to do. Now, a lot of people might not, you know, might look at that ain't much, but I'll guarantee you they probably got 40 or 50 players when they say that too. And, you know, it's easy to say that when you got all kinds of players and other teams don't. So hopefully, you know, this can, you know, be a building year for everybody, you know, and even the mid-major teams, you know, I fear that they're going to be all lined up around the 30 range, probably no more than 35 range of players. So that ought to be some good football as well. I'd be real surprised if they wind up with more than that. So, you know, we could possibly be seeing, you know, some really good football. And I'm looking forward to it, man. I'll tell you, over the years of us having this league, going to games and setting up these schedules and first one thing another, is when you have parity, I'm telling you, you have some really good football. Now, a lot of people wouldn't agree with that, and like I said, they're usually on the top side of that where they got beaucoup of players, you know. And like I talked to them girls last week, and, you know, people, the old statement, it makes me mad when I hear it, you can only play 11 at a time. And you are correct. You can only play 11 at a time. But when you got 40 or 50 to choose your 11 from, and I got 15 to choose my 11 from, there's a big difference there. And I'll tell you, you tell those teams, you know, I've had over the years, some of those big teams, you know, 40, 50, 60 players messes up. Hey, y'all want to play? Y'all want to scrimmage? Well, no, we don't. I mean, we can't, first of all, we can't afford to get anybody hurt, really. I mean, you try to, you want to get better. You practice, you work in practice to get better. You know, playing games ain't how you get better. It's practice where you get better. And, you know, and they're like, why, man? It just makes you better. Not listen, when you get beat down, we've played bigger teams before. And, I mean, they just kill you, man. I mean, they're four deep in positions better than probably what your first ones are. And it's a killer, you know. And I'm like, hey, you want to bring 15 and come down and we'll scrimmage, do whatever. No, we can't do that. Well, hey, join my party here, you know, figure it out like I have to figure it out, you know. So, to me, and I've always said this from the day I started the show and the day I started coaching a women's football team, that if you don't have parity, you don't have much. Because I'm going to tell you something. For a big team, for a huge team, and I'm talking about the 40s and ups, I mean, because that's a big football team. I mean, in the NFL, what, they only got a 52-man roster or something? So when you're around that 40 and up range, you're a big football team. And you play a small football, it's a no-win situation for you. I mean, if you happen to slip up and they beat you or they make a game of it, I mean, what's that say for you? Then if you beat them 60 or 70 to nothing, what's that say for you? I mean, everybody's going to say, well, you should have beat them by that much. I mean, here you killed them. They didn't have but 14 players. You got 50 players, you know, and then if those 14 happen to be really good and they, you know, the ball bounces their way a time or two and they beat you or it's a real close game, they're like, hey, man, what happened here? Y'all should have blew them out. It's just a no-win situation. And you know, I wish that we could all get on this same page about that, you know, that I don't care. I'd rather travel 1,000 miles at a chance to compete against a team that I had a chance to win versus drive across town to a team four times bigger than me knowing I'm going to get the crap beat out of me. And then what it does to your demeanor on your team and these girls getting hurt, and you know, and if you can't afford to lose anybody, there's just nothing good can come out of it. But you know, they found a way in other leagues to justify it by you get so many points. You know, losing can be more valuable than winning. And to me, that's never a case. And, I always value wins. And, you know, I never worried about what people say. You know, I don't know that I've ever played a football game with the Thunder team that me and Jennifer started from scratch. I don't know that I've ever played a football team when I had more than three or four players in the other team. You know, most of the time we got less players than anybody. So, you know, we won a lot of football games. And, you know, people say, well, man, you run up the score. Well, listen, how do you run up the score when you got 14 players? I mean, you're only looking at three on the sideline all the time. What am I supposed to tell my players? Not score? You know, no, I ain't going to do that. I mean, you know, you run the ball and they mad. You throw the ball and they're mad, you know. So it's kind of deal, like I said, you know, we all need to get on the same page about it. There's, to me, the biggest thing, and I say it week in and week out, they got different classifications in high school football for the reason that the 1A's, well, in Tennessee, it goes 1A to 6A. And the 1A's don't play the 6A's, you know. You got some powerhouse 4A's that'll play 5A and 6A. And they usually beat the 6A and the 5A's. But they go by enrollment, so, you know, they're just really good. They work hard at it. But the 1A's don't play the 6A, and for a reason. If you seen it, it wouldn't be good. But yet, guess what? At the end of the year, the 1A's play for a championship. They play other 1A's and so on. So it makes for great football when you can, you know, do your best to get teams paired up. And I know, listen, it's tough in women's football because there's a lot of travel, more so than the men's semi-pro, because those guys seem like there's a bunch of teams just here and there, and they come up, they'll be here today, gone tomorrow. You know, most women's football teams, now there's a few of them that do that, but most of them are still around, and there's a lot of travel. You know, we just had to turn down a Houston team, you know, that wanted in this league really bad. And then, you know, I'm just honest with him. I didn't have anybody for him to play. You know, Huntsville was willing to go play him, but, you know, he was going to be a mid-major team, had over 30, I think he told me 30-some players, and, you know, she's going to be right in the middle of the Iron Woman roster. And, you know, for safety reasons and traveling that far, I mean, it didn't make sense. And then we just couldn't get in games, you know. And I could have told him, yeah, we'll play. And, you know, then we had nobody for him to play. But I let him know early enough that he could, you know, go somewhere else and play. And, you know, we talked about it maybe later on. Things turn around, we get some more teams between here and there that, you know, we can give them a shot. But it's just unfortunate that, you know, we can't. There's already a lot of travel between us. I know the under team had to travel to Minneapolis, Minnesota last year, Kansas City, which actually we ended up in Kansas playing. The championship was down near UT Martin in a place called McKenzie, Tennessee. There was a lot of travel involved. I mean, those trips was, it was like 1,100 up to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it was like 950, 900 to Kansas City. So, and that's a lot of travel, I'm here to tell you. So, you know, I didn't want to have to. I mean, you know, he was like, man, I can just get a couple to the Houston team. I can just get a couple home games, you know, we could travel the rest. Man, that's not fair to them. And I'll tell you, several years ago, we had a Houston team want to do the same thing. And, you know, at the end of the year, he's like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I won't play in the championship game. And they won enough games, too. But, you know, we're out of funds. We can't travel anymore. And you know, I get it. I get it. And that's what I say. There's so many games that are so spread out. And, you know, that's one selling part for some of these leagues is, oh, well, listen, you don't have to travel. You can go right across town, play this team, and even though you're going to get beat, it's going to, you know, come playoff time, that's going to hold more clout than if you go down the road and win. Never figured that out, folks, but however, you know, I'm going to go down the road and take my chances at the win versus going just over town and cross town and line up against the, you know, you stand there about 15 or 16, look over the way, and they could field about 5 or 6 teams. I'm good. And that's what we've been trying to avoid in the USWFL ever since we've owned it, took it over. That's what we've been trying to avoid. And, you know, I've talked to these teams and, you know, about it. And like I said, a lot of them are going to be right on that border. Michigan teams coming on tonight, they were right on the, you know, the team player limit going one way or going the other. You know, if you've already got 25 or 26, and how do you say, hey, you can't play? And, you know, I mean, I get it. I really do get it. But, you know, at the same point, you know, you got to do what's best for your team. That's what I say. And I want to always, you know, do what's best for this league. And I try to fix these games up to where they'll be good, equal games. I mean, you take two teams that has 25 or 30, or each got 30 or 32, whatever. I mean, it comes down to who's, you know, who's got the better players, who works the hardest, and all that. It seems like a pretty good matchup, you know. So hopefully, I'm hoping that's what we're going to see this year. I really am. I hope that we see some really good games, and maybe we can, you know, get going good. So I don't know, but maybe things will be going good. I just got a message that Coach Keith from the Michigan Queens, he's not going to be able to make it tonight. Maybe I can get him on another time, but he just sent me a message, couldn't get away for tonight. But, you know, it's a funny thing when you're these teams and you're building these schedules and all this stuff, and you know, the bigger teams don't have anybody to play. That's where the problem lies. You talk about, you know, we just got two divisions, what would be a division two and a division three. Well, one league has three divisions or four divisions actually. And their division ones, there's not enough of them. They just don't have nobody to play without doing a lot of travel, you know. So it's tough. I get it, really. I do. But, you know, at the end of the day, if I had 50 players, I wouldn't want to even think about playing a team that only had 15 or 20 players, or even 25 players. I mean, you're talking about a division two. And a 25 strong division three, you might have a decent game there. But you start talking about a division one versus a division three, you're not going to have a whole lot there. So I don't know, you know, what the answer is. I really don't. I've thought about it, and I've seen it, and I've talked about it on here a lot, and I talk about it a lot to different people, what the answer is. But I can tell you my answer is not letting each of them play is where I think the answer is. But, you know, they got to do what's best for their league. I don't know exactly how they would go about it. So, let's see. I got a message that says, well, the U.S. says, why is USWFL not playing more than five games? Well, the mid-major division, they're playing six games, and the Iron Woman division is playing five games. And that's because we didn't have enough teams to play the six games. I could have got the Iron Woman team six games, and I talked to each team that's in the Iron Woman's, and one team did want six games, and I got them an away game. The other teams, like, no, they're good. I mean, you know, you got to understand something. When you don't have a big roster, you got to get through five games, and then there's going to be a playoff game, and then if you win that, then you got to play in a championship game. So you could possibly play six. I mean, you're guaranteed that if you don't forfeit a game and you got five games in the Iron Woman, the mid-majors are playing six games, three home, three away. But in the Iron Woman, they're playing five games. They're actually playing a jamboree, which they'll play two quarters against each team, which will add up to a game, just splitting the games. And then they got four regular season games, which adds up total to five games, and then a playoff game. The number one team will get an automatic bye into a championship. So that makes the highest seeded team six games. And the other two teams will play in a playoff game, so that makes each one of them six games. So you could end up playing seven games. If you only got 15, 16, 17 players, that's quite a bit of football right there. And I'll tell you, last year I think we played seven or eight games total, count the playoffs and the championships and all that, man. And without a bunch of players, that's enough football. I'll just tell you right now, the mid-majors are all going to play six regular season and then a playoff game and then two of them. So they're all going to play at least seven games, and two of them are going to play eight games. So, if there's not a very big roster, that's a plenty. You know, I can remember when we first started the Thunder team, hell, you played eight games. And, oh my God, I mean, there was some games we played with 12 players. You know, you talk about safety, and you talk about scared. I mean, we went and played a team with 12. Well, there wasn't just one team. We played one team. Well, both teams were on the road. We played 13 players and 12 players. We went to Ohio and played a team with 13 players, and it was like 130 degrees on the field, and I'm not exaggerating. In the second quarter, we lost one of those players that tore Achilles. We were down to 12. One of them was having back spasm half the game. One of our good players got knocked out like in the third quarter with a concussion. I mean, you talking about scary, you know, and then we go play like the last game or next to the last game with only 12 players, period. I mean, that's all we dressed out. And one of them had a torn ACL, MCL, meniscus, was wearing a brace, and the leg would pop in and out, and they'd go screaming and hollering. The same girl that had the back spasm was there, and she was still having back spasms all year long. I'm telling you, it was scary. And, you know, that's just too many games for the smaller teams to have to play. I think this, you know, what we got set up for the Iron Woman teams is going to turn out to be just right. So, you know, maybe we can make it work. Well, we're going to make it work. There's no doubt about it. You know, I just, you know, want everybody to know that the only reason is there's not enough, there wasn't enough actual player teams. I mean, I could have got them another game with the mid-majors, but, you know, they were content to play those games, and I was as well. So, you know, we're tickled with it. I think they are, and I think with the amount of players that they got, I believe it'll work out great. You know, a lot of leagues are, you know, letting you play what, four games or something. So, you know, or some of those divisions don't give you a playoff game or a chance at a championship. So it'll work out to be the best. And like I said, I did reach out to the owners of those teams and ask them if they wanted to fix the game, and they were happy to just stay with what they got. So it was fine with me, and I was tickled with it. So I guess whenever we get Miss Carmelisa on, we'll talk to her and see what she's got in store for us about her football team, the Huntsville Tigers. They've been around for quite a while. They always got some good athletes, man. Every time we play them, they always have some great athletes. You know, it's a good thing when you can get a bunch of good athletes. You know, that's the thing with the Thunder. We've had a few here and there over the years. We just, you know, didn't. We had to play different style of football a lot of times. We had the athletes to fit. You know, we have to change up our offense or defense to, you know, to work with what we got. And, you know, that's what the way it's always been. I don't know any different. You know, that's the thing with us, you know, as coaches. You know, you just coach to what you got. And we, that's all we did for years. And you know, we won a lot of games, lost several games. That's all you can do. You can't make something happen that don't happen. You know, so we just do what we can do with. But it's been, you know, it's been a lot of fun over the years. Coaching women, I say it all the time. You know, Chevany Jackson there, they got a men's semi-pro team with the RVA Tomahawks, and you know, we had a lot of discussions. Ain't no way I'd coach those men. No way whatsoever that I could coach them. Mike's coached them, and he's been around. You know, when he was out in Texas, they had a bunch of teams. But man, this their demeanor and stuff, I couldn't do it. And most of these women are, you know, they're just coming to you raw, don't know a whole lot. You have to, you know, teach them every single thing you want them to know and work with them. And shoot, I just don't know any different, you know. And I think about all the great coaches that I know and all the great coaches that I like. I just don't know that they could get down on the level and coach. I mean, I guess they did at some point in time or another, you know, to get down there and you know, earn your money. I mean, you start talking about, you know, coaching women that don't know anything about football, and you get several of them. I'm telling you, I don't know what you get paid, but it ain't enough because you're earning it. I mean, you're earning every bit of it. You gotta, you see them very little, not very often at all, to get them ready to play, and you can put a team out there to, man, play football games. It's amazing. It's a great feeling, I'll tell you. But I just don't know that these great coaches could do it anymore. I'm sure at some point in time they probably could, and they probably did, and they've all went through so much to get to the level that they're at. But you know, man, once you get up there, you can, you know, have any of the players you want. It's a different deal, you know. So it's been a lot of fun. I'll say that. You know, I've learned a lot, you know, lots of things about coaching these women that, you know, is so much different. Like when I played, you know, this just the approach about things is different. You know, the way you go about it, you know, the fact that, you know, when you play high school ball, and these college guys and all that, all you know is practice. I mean, that is all you know, is during football season every day is practice or a game. And that's all you know. And, you know, here you are in women's, and you see them just every now and again, you know, and you just don't get to see them enough. And here you are trying to cram all this knowledge into them as fast as you can, just to get them up to speed to put a product on the field, you know, and how scary that is to you when you're on the sideline and hoping you did enough in a short period of time to get it done, you know. And that's where, you know, like I say, you're earning your money. No matter how much you're getting paid, it ain't enough. I can assure you that. But, you know, I don't know that any coach in women's football is in it for the money. I mean, I'm sure there might be, but I don't know how many of them it would be. I guess some of the bigger teams that have 70 or 80 players, maybe they're in it for the money, but I don't know many. You know, I'll say that. So, you know, you do it for the love of the game. You do it for the love of the team and the love of the sport. You know, I can say this. I talked about going to the Titans and playing ball. I mean, the highlight when I played football in high school was we got to go to the UT game together as a team and watch a game. And you know, if I hadn't have been a part of this women's football, I'd have never got to be on the field or the sideline of the Tennessee Titans. You know, there's so many great accomplishments that you reach through things that ain't all about the money. You know, it's just about the glory of being there and what it means to do that when, you know, as many, and I talked about this back then, as many football games as I played, as many years as I played, all the practices and everything I've been through, not once did I ever step on an NFL field until that day that we played down there. And, man, you know, so it's things like that. I, you know, if it wasn't for women's football, you know, I wouldn't have got to achieve and, you know, and it's these girls that work hard. It's really nothing to do with me. So it's about them. But tell me, Miss Carmelise is on. So let's go to her and see what's going on in Huntsville, Alabama.
How you doing, Coach?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you bet, man. I'm glad to have you on. I said trying to get each team on and let them talk a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your team and how you come about it. And, you know, how it, I know for you it's been like a lot of small rosters, been up and a roller coaster ride, uphill and down, but you're still hanging on and still playing and got an opportunity to win some football games.
For me, my love for football started when I was really young. Maybe 5 years old. I have a twin sister, and we both wanted to play in the NFL. Of course, not really realistic, but that's how much we love the game. And as we got older, she came across a player who told her about women's football. We were living in Birmingham, and the team was located in Huntsville. And, you know, we were both surprised. Women are playing football, tackle football. So we would drive down, and this was probably in like 2005 or 2006, so we would drive up, rather, to Huntsville and practice and play games and kind of fell in love with it. That team was the Alabama Renegades, one of the founding members of one of the first leagues that women could play in. And like I said, we fell in love with it, played for 5 years, maybe six. It changed ownership, changed leagues. And then when, I think it was 2011, that particular owner decided not to bring the team back for 2012. Well, everybody still wanted to. So I just, you know, did some research. Like, okay, I'll become the owner of the team because, you know, I, like I said, I have a love and a passion for the game. And that's what – go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, right, yeah, that's mm-hmm. that seems to happen a lot, you know, is the owners don't want to do it no more, and all of a sudden players step into that owner role.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so we had, you know, tried out a few guys at coaches, but it didn't really work out. So I had a player who was on the team said, well, why don't you coach? And I was like, oh, okay. And that's kind of how I started coaching. When the other coaches didn't work out, we decided to take that on. It was maybe a month before the season, our first season. And haven't looked back. My first season was 2012. In the, I don't know, the USFL, I can't think of the original league that you got, that you purchased. It was that league. So I might have the name wrong. But that
no,
was
it's
our first
the U.S.
Is it? Okay, okay.
Yeah,
so we
correct.
That was our first season. And we traveled as far as in the playoffs. We went to New York. So
yes.
that travel is really something I think that can actually hurt smaller teams because you already have a small roster. Everybody can't make those games. They have commitments, family commitments, work commitments. And, you know, so if you already have 16 players and three or four can't travel, you know, it becomes a big issue. And so over the years, trying to belong to a league where travel was minimal was my goal, and for us to be competitive also. And so, you know, I found some, you know, good leagues along the way that were able to do that, and some that, you know, couldn't do it just because of, you know, where the teams are. I know you mentioned Texas wanted to be a part, but in fairness to them, you were honest and you let them know, hey, we just don't have the teams to play you. And so I think that's something that owners of leagues should really consider, you know, am I putting a team, a top team against a beginning team? That's not fair to that beginning team or the players, because their first experience of women's football is brutal. And you lose players that way. Not just injuries, but, you know, to go against a team that has 70 and you have 15 is, you know, is really not what the sport is supposed to be about.
Yeah, I've spent the last hour preaching on that very thing, you know, and you know firsthand, and we know firsthand because we've had to do it, and nothing good can come out of it either way, you know, mm-hmm. So that's why I like the parity, and you know, it's just like this year, your travel is at a minimum probably as it's ever been, you know, and the same way, and it needs to be that way. When you don't have the amount of players that, you know, 25, 30, 35 players, man, that travel is just, you know, brutal to you.
I've never had that many players. It's always 18 to 19, maybe 20 on a good year, but in general, it's 15 players that show up for the games. It might be 17 on the roster, but on the sidelines, we have 15.
Yeah, and that's what I've been fighting for years. And, you know, and a lot of people dog me for that, but, you know, it's, well, you don't want to get no back. Listen, I'd love to have 30, you know, but I don't, and you don't. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure you'd love to have 30 where you don't have to worry about it, but you don't. But that don't mean you like the game any less. That don't mean you want to play any less. You know, there's
right.
always a fit. There's always a fit for you out there, and, you know, you just got to keep grinding until you find that fit.
Right, and you don't have to be beat into the ground to get better.
No, getting beat into the ground don't make you better. That's just it. That's, mm-hmm. you know, working at practice against better people, and, you know, I mm-hmm. know, man, you've talked about it before. You brought guys in to practice against and guys in to coach against to make harder. And that's what makes you better. Getting beat 50, 60, 70 to nothing in the first half does not make you one bit better.
No, it doesn't. It's a bad look for the game.
It is. That's, you know, and like I said, for the last hour I've been preaching that. But, you know, I want to touch back on one thing you said about the Houston, or about the other Houston team. And you know, the very day that, we first started talking about them coming to the league, and he called, and we got on a conference call, me and him and Mike, and I told him, I was honest with him that very day. I said, man, I'm going to check and see what I can do, but I just don't think I can get you any games, you know. Then later on, he sent in the contract, and I told Mike, I said, don't accept that contract until, you know, we can have him games. I'm not going to say, yeah, we're going to take your contract, but I don't know if I can get you games, you know. And then me and you talked again because he's really wanting to play. And I talked to all the teams in the league, and they're just like, man, that's just, you know, we can't do it. And how can I expect them to do it, you know. And he was like, well, if I can just get two home games, I can travel away. And that's not right. And, you know, I talked to the guy on like a Monday, and me and Mike was meeting on a Tuesday, and I told him, I said, hey, me and Mike's meeting on a Tuesday. We're going to finalize this schedule. I've got a couple of the teams I haven't talked to. I said, when we get through meeting, I'm going to call you. And, you know, Mike was sitting here, and he's like, man, I don't even want to, you know, be on this call. And I was like, hey, I just got to be honest with the guy from the get-go, you know. And he answered, and I said, hey, man, it just don't look good. And he said, hey, I understand. I've, you know, moved on. And I wish them well, you know, and hope that, and, you know, I told him maybe, you know, it'll be different when I can get some teams between us and you where you could, you know, join this league. Love to have you. And he's like, hey, man, I understand. I appreciate the honesty, and hopefully it'll work out that way. That's the only way you can be. I mean, so many, you know, when I took over this league, when I bought this league, it was so screwed up. The very year that we bought it, there was rosters out there, like the team that I was supposed to host was hosting another team the same weekend, and nobody knew. There was three or four schedules out there. You couldn't get a hold of the owner, and it was just a disaster. And, you know, once I took over the league, I said, listen, whether they like it or whether they ain't, I'm going to be honest about it. We're going to work through it. We're going to do it the right way. And you know, that's the only way I know. And, that you know, that's how I approached the deal with Houston.
Mm-hmm. And that is the best way to be, because, you know, you get less problems that way. So if you had promised him all these games and then couldn't deliver, you know, now it looks bad for you not keeping your word. And it really looks like you just deceived him to get him into the league. So definitely honesty is always best.
Well, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in 2000, it may have been 17 or 18, maybe 19. I'm not real sure, but there was a Houston team, you know, the same way, and they waited till the very last minute. I don't know what happened. They couldn't get in the league, and you know, they were like, hey, we'll travel. You know, we'll travel to all these games. And they were pretty good, and I did get a couple teams to go to them at that point in time, but they couldn't. But they had to travel a bunch, and here they were making all those games, and they hadn't forfeited the game, so they were going to make the playoffs, and I think they might have even made the championship, I believe. And, you know, he called me with the last game on the line, and he was like, man, is there any way, you know, we can get this, you know, game undone? And I'm like, no. You know, why? He said, man, we're just out of money. We can't travel there anymore. And I understood, but, you know, I tried to warn him, listen, traveling 1,000 miles six weeks is just unheard of, you know?
Right. Yeah, it will go through your budget real fast. You don't really realize, but it does.
Yeah, so I with that experience and, you know, with this, and it's nothing personal against shit. I'd love to have had them, you know. I really would. But, you know, just for the better part of his team and our league and all the teams in our league that he was about to play or would have had to travel to, you know, we just couldn't be unfair to them and let them in as much as I wanted to. You know, it just didn't happen that way. And I sure wasn't dreading, you know, I was dreading that call to the guy to tell him that, you know, I couldn't let him in because I really wanted him. But, you know, in the end, you know, I have to take care of, you know, and it's not personal against him, but I already had, like, when the very first teams I got was the RVA and South Carolina, and you were like the third or fourth team to come on board. And, you know, the very first thing I told you was, me and you talked about, you said, I just want to play football with a bunch of unnecessarily travel. And I said, that's our main goal, you know. So if I had just throwed everything I told you out and those other teams out and said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to Texas. Then I wouldn't have been no good to my word that I give y'all, you know. And I didn't want to do that at all just because you could get another team. And you know, so hopefully it works out for everybody in the end.
Right, right. Definitely, because, you know, ultimately we want to play every game. And I've had years where we've had to forfeit because I just don't have the players that can travel. And so, you know, definitely don't want to do that. You have teams that spend money to host and get ready for a game, and they should be able to have that game played. So, you know, I definitely appreciate, you know, not traveling 12 hours every weekend. Mm-hmm.
Well, you just think of this and what you said, and you know, the difference is when you travel, you know, 200 or 300 miles, you know, to a game versus 700 or 800 or 1,000 miles to a game, that's a big difference, knowing that, you know, I'd say the games that you've had to forfeit over the years have probably, well, I know like last year, the Sting game, which is in Richmond, I don't know. Well, I can pretty much tell you how far it is probably from you to them. I think I got it wrote down. You know, it's a pretty good piece, you know, and that, I don't have it wrote down, but that's a lot of travel for you when you're already under on the roster, you know.
Right. And if we, you know, played that game and made the playoffs, we would have to travel right back to Richmond again. So it's just, I didn't have players. I already had players telling me they couldn't make this game, they couldn't make that game. So, you know, I did not have the numbers that could travel.
Right.
And every,
you know, that
was 10 hours, 12 hours. And so,
right.
You know,
yeah.
women, they're working, they're going to school. And so they also need time for their bodies to recover. And so when you're on the road, and I think only once did we even get a hotel, we're going up there and we're turning right back around because people got to get to work. That's tough. It really is tough.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's why that when you, you know, at this point, over the years that, you know, I've preached that the smaller teams not play the bigger teams is for one thing, the travel is, you know, when if you got 30 on the roster and you travel 25, you're in pretty good shape. You know, you got 15 or 16 on the roster and you travel 12, you're not in too good a shape, you know, and you're traveling that far and having to turn around and come right back is tough. And, you know, so just over the years, I did a lot of thinking and researching and trying to, you know, the smaller teams trying to help them out to, you know, that if you make every game as a small team, not just your team, but every team, you make every game as a small team and you make the playoffs and you know, a championship game, you might have one really long travel throughout the year. You know what? That's not too bad. But when you start traveling a long ways every single away game and you don't have very many players, it becomes a problem.
It does.
So
definitely.
I've tried to avoid that. You know, I want to see parity. You know, I want to see the smaller teams. Here's what I say a lot, and around here we go watch a lot of high school football, or maybe not go, but we'll watch it on TV. They have different games on there every week, and they might have a single A game this week and a 6A game the next week. And man, those single A games are just as good as those 6A games. But if you played that single A against that 6A, it wouldn't be no game. And
no,
you know, seeing those games, man, it's just like, hey, look here. Even though they're way different classifications, both teams are equally good. And you know, it comes down to the last play of a game or something. And that's what I like to see more of in women's football, because you know and I know, and you've been in it longer than I do, but there's a lot of big teams that have gotten a lot of wins by beating up on little teams.
Exactly. And it's in the reverse is also true. A team will go out there and play a higher level just for the points. I know Deion Sanders, you know, they asked him personally, you know, did he want to play Alabama? And he was like, no, I'm not. I don't want to put my boys through that just for a paycheck. And so what are we doing to women for points? And like, you're going to get beat up just so you can move up in the rankings? It should be about wins.
You get the, you know, if Deion's at Auburn and he's got all the talent Alabama's got, he looks forward to playing Alabama, you know. But when you don't, it's a tough gig. And I preach it all the time, and that's why, you know, over the conversation me and you've had over the years, is, you know, you try to keep it as even as possible. And I think that's where we see good football. And here's the thing I know. I'll guarantee you this, that if you got – how many ever players you get, 16 to 20, that's probably your range always, and that's sort of the range the Thunder's had for the years is you may, if you make it, win a championship, you may get to the 25 range or whatever. You may get a player or two. If you get out of that league and you get down to where you can't play your games, it just hurts you for the future. You know what I'm saying? It just hurts the morale. It hurts the everybody, you know, their way of thinking about things. And that's what I, you know, why I like to keep the divisions and keep them separate, because when this championship comes down and the Iron Woman play for a championship and the mid-major plays for a championship, yeah, there's going to be the difference in players between the two divisions, but I bet you're going to see two really good games.
I agree. And I know definitely, you know, forfeits hurt women's game. And it does hurt the players, because I've had players that say, man, I want to finish a season. They hate a season having to end because of a forfeit, and now you can't go beyond, or you can't even finish the last game because you don't have enough travel. So, you know, it impacts, you know, the game as a whole, the coaches, if there's fines and fees. And then the players, like you said, the mentality, it suffers because they're like, can we finish the season? And so, you know, they get discouraged. And so hopefully, you know, your idea will continue to take off, and, you know, we can get teams with similar rosters together, travel is reduced, and it can be about football.
Yeah, that's what I want, you know, is to be about football. And listen, I guarantee you, if somebody come up and said, hey, wouldn't you like to have 25 or 30 players? You're going to say, you dang right, I'd like to have 25 or 30. But the bottom line is, you're passionate about football. I mean, I've been sitting here for 20 minutes or so listening and talking to you about how much you love football and this, that, and the other, and you can only get 16 to 20 players, and you're still just as passionate about it as you would at 25 or 30. So, and I'm the same way, and there's got to be somewhere for us to play, you know. And if we don't fight for it, nobody's going to fight for it.
That's true. That's true. It's not, you know, the smaller teams are the lifeblood of women's football, because everybody starts that way, or for the most part they start that way, and they're able to build their roster. And so, but some teams, just because of market or whatever it is, they always have small rosters, but they also have players who really love playing and competing, and they deserve the opportunity.
Absolutely. He's talking about the smaller teams that are the backbone of women's football. If you take all the – there's only a handful probably of small teams in the WNFC, but you take those, you take the small teams in our league, and you take the Division III or Division – or the developmental division in the WFA, and all mm-hmm. those teams add up to more than 50% of all women's football teams. So some of those teams, and you know yourself, you've been in those leagues other than the WNFC, some of those teams develop out bigger cities, and they still play Division III football for years and years and years, you know. So, you know, it ain't that we're not trying to grow. It's just that sometimes you just live in an area where, hey, this is all I can get, you know, and you know, you can recruit, you can do everything under the sun, and you can talk to whoever you want, but you can't make people want to come and play.
No, you can't. And football is not a sport where you have to be there because you want to play. That's, you know, what's safe and what's best. You don't want somebody out there who is just not giving 100%. Because it becomes unsafe for them and their teammates. And so you definitely don't want that.
No, I say it all the time. You know, they'll be the owner, Becky, of the Thunder team will send me a message, hey, I got a player interested in playing. Before they ever get to me, I tell her, screen them, hey, do they really want to play? Because if they don't really want to play, don't even send them to me, because I only want people. I don't care if we got but 15 or 16, whatever. I want people that want to be there. And if they want to be there, then they're going to show up and they're going to do a good job. And you just either win or lose with the people that want to be there. versus ones, well, I might be on the team. I ain't got time for that.
Exactly. You know, schedules are different because of work, but, you know, if they want to be there, then they make a way. I've had people that say, oh, I want to play, you know, maybe not. And then they wait until, oh, I really don't want to play. You wasted a lot of people's time. And so, you know, they be sure that that's what they want.
Yeah, that really pisses me off when they do that right there. And I've had a bunch of them do it. I don't take too kindly to that at all.
Right, exactly. So it's, you know, usually the first practice that I have with somebody, I make it really hard because if they're going to walk away, I want them to walk away on that first practice, not a week before the season you decide, oh, I really am too scared to play.
Yeah, I could usually have a first conversation with them now. Over the years I've learned I usually have a first pretty hard conversation with them, you know, as to if they're going to play or not. You know, it's like a girl they give her number, my number to the other day, and she's messed me in like, when are games? I said, I don't know when the games are, but here's when the practices are. You know, and she's like, well, I'll see if my schedule works. You know what I mean? So, you can't make practice. Don't worry about the game because it ain't going to happen for you here. And, you know, whether we play with 15 or 16, that's the way it's going to be. I just can't, you know, I turn my head a lot on this women's football because I know we're in the situation like we're in, me and you are in, and a lot of these teams that you just can't do better. But that right there is not one that I turn my head for.
Right. Definitely makes sense. It's, you know, practice is so important to getting better, to developing that camaraderie between the teammates, and getting them to understand that is so important. And so difficult, too.
You're dang right it is. You know, that everybody don't understand this. The games are played on Saturday, and the win or loss will be took on Saturday. But you win those games before you ever get to Saturday, or you lose those games before you ever get to Saturday. And that's, you know, people don't understand that. And I know you understand it. You've played, your coach, your owner. You've been all of it, been in all these different leagues. You understand that because you've been a part of it.
That is true. And, you know, all I can do is just continue to communicate that. You know, we can't cry over losses if you weren't willing to come and put in the work. It's like, what exactly did you think was going to happen? It's no miracle play to win a game if you don't work together.
Right, yeah, that's what I say, you know, and that's why when these people message me and I'm like, hey, I don't know when the game's over. Here's when practices are, and that's what's important. And we'll worry about the games later. We're right now 3 months from worrying about any football games. You know, we got a lot of practice to get through between now and then. And but you know, it is what it is. I mean, like I say, I know I love it. I played from the time I was in second grade. I graduated. I should have went to college. I just hated school. But so many things I would have never have been or got accomplished. I mean, I never played on a championship team. I never even come close playing on a championship team. Never had near the wins that we've had. Never played on the NFL field. None of that stuff if I hadn't have been a part of women's football. And, you know, it's as tough as it's been and as bad as things seem sometimes, and I know you've seen it as well, it's a blessing to be a part of a sport where nobody knows about and nobody cares about.
It is. And, you know, like I said, I started 2011, 2012 was the first season, and I don't see myself not doing it. It's just a wonderful opportunity and a privilege to be a part of this sport.
Yeah, it's a way of life, you know. It really is. It becomes a way of life, you know. I mean, now, shoot, it seems like, you know, women's football is almost a 12-month thing, even though you don't play or practice that much. You know, it's like, shoot, you're just getting done playing your games, and we're just getting done playing our games, and me and you're having conversations on the phone about, you know, where we'd like to be and this, that, and the other. And it just goes on down. You know, it's just becoming, you know, more and more a part of your life as an everyday thing than it used to be.
That is true. That is true. Sometimes I think 1 year, it didn't even seem like we had an off season. So, you know, it definitely is time consuming, coaching, owning, recruiting. It does take a lot of time, but, you know, we do it because we love it.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier before you come on, is, you know firsthand about having to do it all. And, you know, me and Jennifer started this team, and I never set out to coach this team. I never set out to own a team. We wanted to start this team, and you know, and then it just became, well, if we don't do it, who's going to do it, you know? And she was traveling 225 miles before we started this team one way just to play, and you know what kind of drag that can be on you, and making all those practices and then them not caring if they show up or not, or winning's not important and this and another. And so I never intended to own a league. You know, it just so happened that the woman that owned the league was in a bad situation and couldn't handle it. And a month before, in 2017, a month before the championship, she'd been saying the championship was going to be in West Virginia. And the guy in West Virginia says, I ain't talked to her. And finally, she calls me. Yeah, and she just calls me, and it all blows up. She says, hey, I want to sell you this league. I know you'll take it, do a good job with it. And I drive a truck, and I was on the road. Matter of fact, I was in Alabama somewhere, and I just told her I'd take it. I called Jennifer. I said, hey, we bought a league. She's like, well, you didn't even call and console me about it. I said, I didn't have a chance. She said, here's the deal, and I took it. And, you know, for the first time in that league, in 4 weeks, I set up a place to have a championship. We had the two championship games. We had an all-star game. It was a great venue. And you know, it's been a lot of work. I mean, it's been a lot of work. So at that time, we owned the team. I coached the team. I owned that league. And I'm telling you, recruiting it, you're talking about just a full-time fledged job that didn't pay anything. Yeah, that's what I had, you know. And I'm like, man, this is just way too much for me. And so we, I said, you know, that, and I guess after 2019, I sold the league to a guy, and he ended up, he got sick and couldn't do it, didn't put his heart in it. And just before he died, I called him, got it back, and I'm like, you know what, we don't own the team anymore. I just coach. I do this league. I want to do it for the teams like yours and the teams like the Thunder and teams like South Carolina. Where do you fit in? You know, who's fighting for you to fit you in somewhere? And that's what, you know, I've always did is fight for the underdogs and the smaller roster teams to have a place to play.
Mm-hmm. And we definitely appreciate that.
So, well, anyway, hey, I appreciate you coming on. We'll, like I said, before the season actual starts, I'll get everybody back on, talk a little bit, and when the games start, the league will pick the MVP of the week, player of the week from each division, and I'll have them on. It's sort of fun, and there's always a link there that you're, whenever that happens, or anytime you can give your girls a link, and they can get on and listen and tune in, and anybody can call in and ask questions, just like somebody called in tonight and asked a question about the five games and first one thing the other. So it's always a good show. We just talk a lot about women's football. Wish we could solve the problems and try to, whether we can or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Have a good
evening. Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am. Thank
All right.
you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Ms. Carmelisa from the Huntsville Tigers just joined us there. Had a lot of input and, you know, what she's been through in women's football. It's just a lot of what I've talked about before she came on. And, you know what, it's, you know, she's been on both sides of those games. Well, she probably ain't been on the side of where she had a larger team, but she's had some really good players along the way. The first time I ever seen Huntsville play, they had one of the best players I ever seen, and she dominated the game, and they destroyed the team that I watched them play. She's been on the side of playing those big teams, and you heard her say in her own words, nothing good can become of it. And, you know, even though they're not a huge team, you know, she's still passionate about the game and passionate about her team and, you know, what they have to go through. So, you know, just think it, you know, it could be worse when you don't have people out here fighting for you, you know. And I like to fight for everybody, but, you know, I like parity. And, you know, that's what I talk to all the four major, mid-major teams we got. That's what I talked to them about, you know. They was a couple of, you know, they're borderline which way to go. And, you know, I said, hey, you got to do what's best for your team, you know. And a lot of them, you know, if I had 25 or 26 the deadline, I'd have had to went the other way too. I'd have had to went mid-major because hoping I'd get a few more to, you know, to get to that 30. But, you know, if you don't have the 25, it's hard to say, oh, I'm going to go mid-major, because then you lose two or three, and there you are down to 20, and you're playing out of your division when you should be playing against teams you could compete in. I mean, I guess playing a game or so ain't that big, but when you different when you start talking about divisions and, you know, and these teams like RVA, they've been pressing heavy because they got this game on March 18th. You know, I know the very first year we played at the Titan Stadium, that is being the Thunder, you know, we got through playing and we took a month off and we was right back in pads, had to get ready for that game, which happened in November, I believe. You know, so it was a tough gig. Hell, we didn't have no more than we had now. And so it's tough. You know, it really is tough. And, you know, like you heard her, how passionate she is about the game. We had the two women owners last week and how passionate they are about the game and how passionate they are about their teams. And, man, I just love to see that. And to me, it don't matter if you got 50 or 100 or, you know, 70 or 20 or whatever. You know, you're that passionate about the game and you're willing to fight. I'll promise you there's somebody out there willing to help you fight. It may not be the bigger leagues or nothing like that, but, you know, I'm going to do what I can for you. I guarantee you that, because I want to see it, you know, firsthand. I realized that when we got into this league, before we ever bought it, I realized that there's nobody out there fighting for the smaller team. They want you. They want you in their league because they want your money. And they want you to play, if you live close to a big team, they want you to play that big team. And they want to tell you, oh, well, it don't matter. You lose, you're going to get, you know, you're going to gain more points for that toward your playoff picture than you are playing other teams. I don't buy that. I never have. I never will. And I realize right fast that nobody's fighting for the smaller teams. And you know, we've never had the – when we had the Washington Prodigy in this league, and they were the Division II, and at the time we've had Houston team in, we had the Pumas in, and the Prodigy had 40-some players, you know, the biggest team in there. And, I mean, shit, for years they went undefeated. They didn't, you know, they were playing two or three Iron Woman teams just to fill their schedule, and they went undefeated like two or three years in a row. So, you know, I realized that somebody has to fight for the smaller teams, and, you know, why not us? You know, and I appreciate the bigger teams, and I'm fighting for them, but if I just worry about them and don't fight for the others, then who's going to fight for them? Where are they going to play and all that? So, you know, it's just sort of been a thing I've taken personal over the years to want to get more Iron Woman teams, because even though you heard Miss Carmen Lisa there say, even as long as they've been playing, you know, they're around that 20 player range every year. So, you know, there's always going to be teams like that. There's always going to be players that want to play there. So there's always going to have to be, you know, there's always going to be three divisions in that WFA. Hell, there's four divisions. How are they going to develop in a league? So there's going to be the smaller teams. You know, there's less big teams than there is anything. There's less Division I teams in the WFA than there is any other division. Now, in the WNFC, there's more what would be Division I teams than there are others. They got a big powerhouse league, and there's lots of teams in that league that have lots of players, and you watch it. They live stream every game. You watch it, there's some really, really good football. I enjoy watching. I know a lot of players that play on those teams. You know, I've met through the years, and, first one thing and the other, and hey, I'm happy for them. That's what they want to do. Go for it. Hey, I'm happy for them. But, you know, at the same sense, I want to fight for the single-A football team. And, you know, I like it. I think it's just as good football, and you don't have, you know, over the years, only two coaches I know the Huntsville had, I've not seen anybody but two young ladies, two twin women coaching them. So, you know, they love it. We love women's football around here. Jennifer got started in it, and, you know, we've not looked back since. Sometimes it seems to be overwhelming, but we always seem to fumble our way through it and wind up playing again and doing it all over. Maybe in the near future we can get Coach Keith from the Michigan Queens. They practice. He couldn't get away. They run long. I don't know. We have the show on Thursday. We might not be able to get him on, but maybe we can. But I do appreciate Ms. Carmelise calling in, talking about Huntsville. Appreciate the question about the five games. Like I say, anybody call in, ask questions, we'll be glad to take them. Next week I'll have the Detroit Prowl and the Cincinnati Sizzle. They will be on the show. So I look forward to talking to them. One is a mid-major team. Both of them are mid-major teams. I'm sorry, both of them are. Not just one, both of them. And we're glad to have them. And, you know, maybe we'll get their input. I certainly bet you that, you know, the mindset is because they've been a part of big teams and big leagues, it's going to be a different mindset and way of thinking of the conversation we had tonight. So look forward to that. Appreciate J.C. Hawk Sports Network giving me the opportunity to get on here and gab on Thursday night, talk about women's football, in my opinion, and have these people on. Hey, man, we're all fighting for the same thing. It's just a little different way of doing it, I guess. But till next Thursday, I'll see you then. I appreciate it.